welcome back to the Sports Fanatics here on 1460 KXNO. Chris Williams here from Louisville, actually, is just flew in this morning. Iowa State and the UAB Blazers are set to do battle tomorrow. That'll be 11:40 tip on True TV, Iowa time. I am joined today from the KFC Yum Center by our good friend of the program, Travis Hines, Ames Tribune. Have you had any rotisserie chicken yet, Travis?
I haven't yet. We got to figure out a way to articulate the exclamation point that is officially after Yum in the KFC Yum Center. I don't know if we really got to get excited to say it or what. It's so much fun to type. I feel like we need to be able to articulate it as well.
Yeah, and it creates issues when you're writing the Word document because it doesn't believe that the use of the punctuation is correct. Have you had this issue with your Mac too?
I have. I've got squiggly green lines all over my Word documents. It's horrendous.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the type of stuff that we worry about here. There is basketball to be played. We're actually recording this, KXNO listeners, and we're looking, as I believe any minute right now, the Kentucky Wildcats will be coming out here for their shoot-around. Now, I can tell you personally, Travis, this morning I flew from Des Moines to Chicago and then to Louisville, and I bet half of my flight from Chicago to Louisville was Kentucky fans, and they're turning out, man. Like, and you'll probably hear Sports Fanatics when you're listening if they come onto the floor. I mean, this place is probably, the lower section is like a fourth full of Kentucky fans. It does, of course, we're here to cover Iowa State, but one of the best teams in the history of college basketball being here is pretty cool, too.
Oh, it's fantastic. We've got a front seat to potential history here. It hasn't been done since, 76 when Indiana did it. I mean, it's pretty astounding. And, you know, you mentioned there being fans on your flight. I mean, they could play this game in Dubai, and Kentucky fans would get there. And yet, here we are only 80 minutes or so away from the Kentucky campus. It's going to be overrun by Kentucky fans. It's going to be, I think, a really cool atmosphere. You know, I don't expect Kentucky to get tested while they're here in Louisville, but to be able to watch what could be one of the most historic NCAA tournament runs start is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a nice little field here, too. Let's move on over to Iowa State. And we'll get to UAB in a moment. I don't really think UAB is the real story right now, though, for Iowa State. I mean, that potential second game, either way, if it's Larry Brown, Fred Hoiberg's first NBA coach, or if it's Steve Alford, man, I'm just praying that somehow the 11 seed UCLA Bruins meet Iowa State in the round of 32. Regardless, we're going to have a lot of, assuming Iowa State gets past the 14 seed, that round of 32 is going to be pretty epic.
Yeah, our colleague Randy Peterson from the Des Moines Register made a very good point that with that potential Iowa State-Iowa Sweet 16 matchup, nothing can bring the state together like Iowa State playing UCLA, because everyone will be rooting against UCLA given Alford's tenure in Iowa City. So it would be really interesting. I mean, I wasn't in the state during that time, but clearly being around the Big Ten during that time, everyone knows the entire saga that Alford and Iowa went through during his time there. So I can only imagine what just, you know, obviously not for Iowa State given they didn't have any ties to him, but just for everybody that experienced that when he was at Iowa.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the other end, there's Larry Brown, legendary. You know, I would look forward to covering a game that Larry Brown is coaching in. Fred Hoiberg up at the podium today made some comments just about his longevity. And I've always said that about Fred, that I've never thought Fred would be a guy coaching at Larry Brown's age. I don't think that's what he wants to do. I think he'd rather be out on the golf course at that age. And he talked about that, just how impressive it is that this guy, you know, he had his stint in the NBA, but then he comes back to SMU, and it didn't take long for him to build that program up.
No, I mean, he's the only guy that has an NCAA title and an NBA title on his coaching resume. He's one of the all-time greats, you know, an all-time personality just from his hopping from job to job to job, just as a guy that just loves basketball and a little bit of a globetrotter. I mean, he's a guy that coached, I believe, multiple seasons in the ABA back in the 70s. So he's a guy that's, you know, done a ton. And it'd be really an interesting matchup, like you said, him being Fred's first coach, to maybe get a few Hoiberg stories out of him, you know, from the 1995 Indiana Pacers.
Well, Iowa State has to get past UAB first. And an intriguing coach, I don't know, it's intriguing for me, the Jared Haas thing, just because I grew up in that you know, that Rafe LaFrenz, Jacques Vaughn when Kansas was really good. I actually had a connection to that team through a friend, and I used to go to Kansas and watch them play a lot. So to me, Jared Haas is a big name. I don't know how big of a name or how big of a deal it is to a lot of our listeners out there, but I did hear him. He was on with JT the Brick last night, actually, and the one thing you say about this UAB team, they're very young. I think statistically they're like the third youngest team in all of college basketball, depending on where you look. I think KenPom had them at like fourth or fifth. But they're very excited to be here. I don't know if that's always a good thing in the opening round of the NCAA tournament, but this is they are, use the term full of piss and vinegar is how I would describe this UAB team.
Yeah, I think they've got one upperclassman that plays. The rest are freshmen and sophomores. I think they're happy to be here would be the way I'd put it. And, you know, whether that gives you complacency as a team or gives you looseness probably depends on the makeup of your team. And we'll see, what they have come tomorrow, because Iowa State, it wouldn't surprise me to see them come out and play tight. You know, they've been talking about coming back to the NCAA tournament and finishing what they think they started before George Niang got hurt in the tournament last year. That's a year's worth of anticipation and pressure to put on yourself. And given what we've seen them do in the first half of games this month, I wouldn't be shocked at a slow start by Iowa State.
You're exactly right. And plus, all day today, that's all you've heard. I mean, the media just, and rightfully so, hammering Iowa State on the not only the comebacks, a lot of questions about the comebacks. How have you been able to do it? Where do you get that wherewithal to be able to make those comebacks? But why are you in that situation to begin with? I talked to Iowa State assistant coach Cornell Mann, and he really spoke to me a lot about ball pressure with the guards. If you went back, and I'm sure you did, and watched the tape of those games in Kansas City last week, they were getting to the lane pretty easily, especially in that Texas game is the one that really stands out to me early on. Kansas as well gave them some wide open looks from outside, really opened things up on the perimeter for those teams. And Cornell believes that if he can get these guys to buy into that ball pressure early on, he thinks that eliminates the slow starts. What do you think about that?
I think that's a really interesting point, because we've seen good stretches of defense from this Iowa State team. I don't think we've ever seen them put 30-plus minutes of good defense on the floor, but, you know, getting in Kansas City, it's really interesting because we get, you know, seats basically on top of the floor, and you can see when Iowa State's playing with defensive intensity, it looks and feels different from when they get a little lax, whether it's in the middle of game, at the start of games. You can just tell when they're really locked in, when they're speaking to each other, when they're making the proper rotations. It looks so much different, especially up close, than when they're lackadaisical and they're lacking, to use Fred's buzzword defensively this year, urgency. When they're lacking that, it's noticeable, and it makes them a worse defensive team. They've got to find a way to keep that urgency, to keep that focus, to keep that communication going for longer stretches of time on the defensive end.
We're down here at the KFC Yum Center. I don't know if that was good.
That was pretty good. I think I like that.
Yeah. All right. We'll try. We'll work on it throughout the weekend. Here in Louisville, I'm Chris Williams, joined by Travis Hines, beat writer for the Cyclones for the Ames Tribune. This Robert Brown kid from UAB has taken 188 more shots than anybody on his basketball team. I don't even know if he's their best player. I just know that this is a guy who, if they're going to score, I mean, that stat alone tells you everything. It's going to go through this guy. He's a high volume shooter. I guess I'm just guessing, little Dustin Hogue to start the game. He's 6'5". You bring Bryce DeJohn Jones off the bench. I mean, how do you see Iowa State attacking this kid?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head with maybe some Naz Long mixed in there for a little bit more quickness to keep him going off the dribble. Because you look at not only his, but the rest of that team's three-point shooting is pretty pedestrian. But they got some dudes that take a lot of them, despite the fact they're not great at shooting them. You know, it'll be interesting to see how Iowa State guards not only Brown, but that three-point line, because we've seen them be terrible at it. But this is a team where maybe you kind of want them wasting as many threes as possible. And so does Iowa State say, okay, we'll give that a shot, and what happens if UAB gets hot? So I'm really interested to see how they come out, not only guarding Brown, but just their overall philosophy. philosophy, especially on the arc.
Yeah, and that point guard, I believe Norton is his name. I believe, just off the top of my head, I was doing some research on the plane after like 2 hours of sleep, but I believe he's hit 68 shots this year. 58 of them have been three-pointers. That's a point guard.
Yeah, that's some pretty impressive shooting, and he's got a major Iowa tie. His dad, Randy, is the women's coach at UAB, state champion at Assumption boys basketball twice, I believe.
That's why we bring you on the program, Hines, stats like that.
I've got nuggets, man. You want Davenport nuggets on your band.
Yeah, no, we'll see. I think Iowa State would have to play really, really badly to lose. It just, the whole UAB thing, they had a nice little run. They won their semifinal in CUSA by like a point, like 52-51, and they won the championship game on their home floor. I think it's a team that will probably be back in the NCAA tournament for years to come. I just think that if Iowa State shows up, they'll probably get the victory, but, you know, it's March. 14s beat 3s. I think you nailed it, too. I mean, the key tomorrow is, I really think, is the fast start, though, Travis. You don't have to get out to a 10-point lead, but the longer you let a 14 hang around, the more dangerous it becomes when you get into the second half.
Yeah, and Iowa State, you know, they have not blown anybody out in a while. They haven't had one of those starts where by the 10-minute mark of the first half, you know which way the game's going. Maybe Texas Tech. That's been, you know, a month ago. I think they would love to come out and just blitz UAB, get the game on cruise control, and then get into that game on Saturday. And, you know, I'm with you. I think this should be an easy draw for them, but it's March, who knows. But looking at the overall draw, could you have asked if you're Iowa State for a better path to the Sweet 16?
No, I don't think so either, especially when SMU is really interesting to me. First of all, with UCLA, I mean, that's the hot team this year where everybody's, why in the hell did these guys get into the tournament? That's that team this year. SMU is just weird because, you know, they lost the one kid who went to go and play overseas. You want to be like a top five kid?
Yeah, he'll probably be a top three draft pick. Okay. Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yeah, so you lose him. I believe they had an injury at the beginning of the year. But this is a team at one point, Travis, where a lot of people thought they were like a top 15 team in the country.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if they had all their guys, they're probably looking at top five preseason ranking. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a lot of talent before the year started. But that said, I think they beat up on a bad league. And kind of padded their record that way, and they struggled early in the season against good competition. Are they capable of beating Iowa State? Absolutely. But when you look at all the other six seeds across the landscape and the other possibilities, even if Iowa State was that two seed in the Midwest, I just think this sets up perfectly.
Yeah, I do too. I actually, part of me thinks that the Fighting Alfreds might even jump on SMU. I don't know. It just seems to me like every year that team that people are so irate about getting in the dance wins a game or two.
Yeah, I mean, you look at VCU, I think it was Billy Packer lost his mind on TV that they got in, and then they go all the way to the Final Four. So it's possible. I mean, you know, that can make a locker room really, you know, turn in on itself and, you know, say, who cares what anybody else thinks? We're going to go out there and prove them wrong. You know, or they could be the team that they've been for 4 months, so it's tough to say.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We'll have a lot of stuff for you guys over there in KXNO land and also the Cyclone Fanatic podcast tomorrow after the game. Travis, thanks, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And don't forget to tune in to watch Baylor all week long to see whether or not Chris will be inked up come April.
He had to get his Baylor Sweet 16 Scott Drew tattoo in. I'm going to throw it now back to Steve Alford's biggest fan. I know this guy just loves Steve Alford. Loves Steve Alford almost as much as I love my guy Scotty D down there at Baylor. Ross Peterson, back to you in the KXNO studios. I miss you, man. I'll talk to you soon.